Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here with Christopher John O'Shea. Christopher?
Yes, sir. On the stormy night, it's great to be with you.
It's good to have you tonight, and we are on an open show. Open shows mean that our listeners get to call in and direct the conversation tonight. They get to determine what we talk about, and they might say, you know, hey, I have a topic that if you could help me with and you could answer a question for me, it would be extremely helpful to me. And that's the where I want you to, that's what I want you to talk about. And the way to do that is you just call in 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. And we will do our best to answer that question and hopefully give you the direction that you're looking for and the answers that you're seeking on a topic that is precious to you. And if you want to direct that conversation, 410-922-6680. And remember, he who calls in first, or she or he who calls in first, will get the most time for their question, because that's just the way it works. And, you know, those people that wait until 6:30 to start calling in, they're going to probably have three or four other people that I have to address sooner or later. So those that get the call in, those call in first, they're the ones that we address immediately and spend the most time with. 410-922-6680, an open show tonight. You, our listener, get to be the guest tonight and direct the conversation. And if you want to do that, 410-922-6680. So I do have a topic that I wanted to address, and maybe it'll spur some conversation also. We have, it's August 12th tonight, or today, and they have a new procedure in for 2020. It says that you don't have to take a required minimum distribution in 2020. There are no required. Whether you're an inherited IRA or whether you're over 70 and a half years of age, no matter, if you took a required minimum distribution, you don't have to for 2020. And then they came back and said, but if you did it, you have until August 31st to put it back into the account. And everyone who has the cash to put it back into the IRA before August 31st should be doing it. No ifs, ands, or buts about that. I can't imagine that there's somebody out there who would have a situation where they took an RMD out of a IRA earlier this year, has the money to put it back into the IRA. Now, if you need it and you live off of it, there's no question you're going to keep it.
Sure.
But if you have the money to put it back in, put it back in. And there is one, qualified charitable distribution. So if I took out money and gave it to charity, then I don't worry about it. Okay? It's tax-free anyway.
Right.
But if you took the money out, and you didn't, you don't need to, and you could put it back before August 31st, you should be doing it.
Right. So you got a call?
I do have a call. Do you want to address that when we come back?
Sure.
We'll go to Mary first. Yeah. Mary in Annapolis, how can we help you?
Yes, hello. I have a, I think it's called a 501(c)(3).
A 1031 conversion?
I think it's a 501(c)(3) where I invest and the company matches it.
401(k) or 403(b)?
Okay, I think it's with the beef.
Where do you work? What general kind of facility? Is it a government? Is it a university? Is it a hospital?
It's an education facility.
Education, so then it's a 403(b).
Okay, and so my question is, I'm approaching age 59.
Okay.
And I was wondering, when am I able to start taking stuff out of that and putting it in other investments, or can I never do that?
Okay, so are you still working for that educational
yes.
institution?
Yes.
Okay, so it's up to their rules as to how you can, at age 59 and a half, the IRS says you can roll it over to your own IRA if you want to and do and invest it any way you want to. That's what the IRS says. But the 403B plan itself for that employer can either have the same rules as the IRS or they can have more restrictive rules than the IRS. And so I work with a lot of municipalities, school systems in the country, in the state of Maryland, and some of them will allow you an age 59 and a half rollover. It's called an in-service rollover from your 403B after you turn 59 and a half. Some school districts won't allow you until you leave the school system. So you got to ask them. So I would do is call up the 403B and say, can I do an in-service 403B rollover to my IRA? And they'll let you know.
Okay. Well, thank you kindly.
All right. Take care. That's a good question. Very good question. We do that occasionally. But you always have to be careful, you know, don't just roll it out of there because you're 59 and a half. And, you know, you got to really think about is do you really have a good option with that money?
Sure.
So what are we going to say? I've got about 45 seconds. We're going to go to Tom when we come back from the next break. But go
sure.
ahead.
Well, just it was an illustration. One client I looked at today and said they've got an IRA and a regular account, after-tax account. And so I looked and said, even though they're in a low tax bracket, but if we take money out of the other account that she can roll back into the IRA, she's not going to pay any tax on the capital gains because she's in a low bracket and she gets Social Security. So any of the IRA you can roll back in there now is going to reduce the tax. Less Social Security will be taxable. It's a bonanza.
Oh, it's absolutely.
Yeah.
And some clients, they make a lot of money. And they could put it back in the IRA and then convert it to a Roth. And that's right. another great strategy. But you got to get it back in before August 31st. You have until December 31st to make Roth conversion decisions. And so that's very important. And but, Chris, we're on an open show tonight. We just want to tell our listeners Tom's on the line. We're going to go to Tom right when we come back from our first pause. But I want to let you know that there are lines open. Tom's lonely sitting here. You might want to call in and be with him. Waiting on line 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in while we're on this pause with traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, president of the Financial Consulate and host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. So often a radio listener calls me saying, I've been listening to you for years and have been meaning to call. When they come in for their comprehensive financial physical, they say, I wish I had done this years ago. If you've been meaning to call and meet with us, then do not wait. Call now to learn more about our trademark financial physical. The financial physical is designed to be a comprehensive second opinion analyzing all your goals and objectives. Are you maximizing tax efficiencies? Will you be able to maintain your lifestyle in retirement? Is your portfolio properly allocated, or just a few of the many parts of the physical? The best part of our service is you get to see the final product before you decide if you want to pay for it. We do this to assure you we are not selling product, and we guarantee the physical to be truly beneficial. Do not wait any longer. Call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAFE, or visit us online at financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
The Who.
I know anyway. I know it's on the soundtrack from the Remember the Titans.
We're going to see Tom and Glenn Burney, so you got to turn the Who down for a while. Tom and Glenn Burney, how can I help you?
Yeah, good evening. Thanks for taking my call. A year ago, I got Medicare Supplementary F insurance. I just started with that, and then shortly thereafter, I heard that that was not a good idea, that anybody that's an F should really get G because prices in F were going to skyrocket.
Okay.
So I didn't know if you agreed with that opinion or...
Well, I'm gonna do this, Tom. If you can tell us what group that was playing a second ago, we'll answer your question. Who was that?
I couldn't tell you.
Chris, tell him who it is so I can answer his question.
Come on, Chris.
He's working on getting this.
Okay, Chris, here we go. Too many buttons. Too many buttons.
This is
Norman Greenbaum's Spirit in the Sky.
There That's what Tom said. So you were right, Tom. Absolutely correct. So, the answer to your question is maybe it could happen. But we do recommend strongly that everyone who's in Medigap Plan F move to Medigap Plan G. And let me explain why. It's not whether F will skyrocket or not, but it could. It really could, because you have to understand how insurance is priced. Insurance is priced based on the risk pool, okay? Now, if you think about it, the risk pool in the F is going to diminish. There aren't going to be new people coming into the risk pool. So guess what's going to happen to the Plan F? You're going to have the unhealthy people staying in the Plan F risk pool, and no new healthy people are going to come into the risk pool. So there's why Plan F could skyrocket, but I can't tell you it's going to.
Yeah.
But here's why you move to Plan G. It's pretty simple. Plan G, the only difference between Plan G and Plan F is $191 a year, which is the deductible for Medicare Part B. So Medicare Part B under Plan F, when you go see a doctor, you don't pay anything. If you go in under Medigap Plan G and you see a doctor, you're going to pay the first $191.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, if Plan G saves you $191 a year or more, $15 a month or more, then Plan G's a slam dunk, right?
Sure thing.
Period. End of the story. And guess what? When you quote Plan G, you're going to see you're going to save $25 to $45 a month, and you're going to say, this is an easy decision. I'm going to Plan G.
So let me ask you a question then, just for the audience. So why would Plan F not get more people into the risk pool?
Because they did away with it in 2020.
Okay.
Nobody can join anymore.
Right.
As of January 1 this year, nobody can join anymore.
Right.
Now, here's an interesting little topic about this, Tom, is that if you move to Pennsylvania, you want to move to Plan N, as in Nancy. Why Plan N? Well, because it's exactly identical to Plan G in Maryland, because Plan G covers excess charges for Medicare Part B. Plan N does not. But in Pennsylvania, you're not allowed to charge excess charges in Pennsylvania. So therefore, Plan N is the better option in a state that doesn't allow anybody to charge excess. But the simple answer to your question is switch to Plan G, especially if you save $15 a month or more. All right, my friend?
Sure do. Appreciate it, sir.
All right. Take care.
Thanks again.
Great question. I got to go to Mike in Easton. Mike, how can we help you?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
I don't even have a song for you to answer, but that's okay. I'm going to answer your question anyway, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. I have a traditional IRA, and I'm 90 years old. So I'm just wondering if it'd be advantageous for me to switch from a traditional to a Roth IRA, and what would be the financial problems in it?
So tell me in general, are we talking $10,000, $50,000, $100,000, $1 million, what?
No, probably somewhere around 25 to 30.
25 to 30. So you would have to report 25 to 30,000 more income on your tax return. So what I would do, sir, is I would go to whoever does your taxes and say to them, look at my taxes and assume they're identical to last year, and now add all this IRA conversion money onto the equation. Tell me what extra taxes I'll pay. And, you have to look at that logically. If they say, okay, you convert 25,000 and you're going to pay 3 in taxes, I'd say, okay, let's do it. Let's go for it. If you convert 25,000 and they say you're going to pay 8,000 in taxes, I'm going to hesitate when I do that one, because
I haven't had to pay taxes because of my income.
Well, then what you need to do is you should be very strategic about it, and you should look at your income and you should say, how much can I convert every year without triggering any more taxes? And I bet you, if you had somebody who knew what they're doing, looked at that, you could probably convert, and I'm just guessing, $5,000 per year tax-free into a Roth without any problem. You just keep doing that every year, and it might work out really good.
At 90 years old?
Hey, you sound like you're in great shape, my friend.
Well, I am. You know, the Lord's been good to me. But
that's true. And Prince Philip's 99 years old, and he's still cooking. You know, so you got a good 9-10 years left in you, Mike.
So, in other words, if I convert directly to a Roth IRA, I have to claim the whole amount that I've transferred over.
But you don't have to do the whole amount. Any amount you do have to report as added income. And if somebody looks at your tax return, there's probably a hunk of money every year you can convert tax-free without causing any additional taxation. And get somebody to help you do that tax analysis with you. Also, keep in mind, Mike, the conversion. Here's an interesting question for you, Mike. Do you give money to charity?
Yes.
How much do you give a year?
I guess $300 to $500.
Okay, so you should be taking that $300 to $500 every year and giving it out of your taxable IRA to charity. That's called a qualified charitable distribution. And you should be doing that every year, my friend. So what I would do is I would begin my Roth conversions that's with the tax-free money, get somebody to do this analysis for you, and then take $500 or whatever you're giving a year away to somebody and to charity and get your IRA company to write a check to that charity and give it to them every year. It's called a qualified charitable distribution. It's 100% tax-free.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you very much. You've been extremely helpful. Thank you.
All right, sir. Well, my pleasure. I didn't even ask him to answer a song, you know?
Well, I mean, once you get it correct as the who.
Yeah. I think Tom was pretty good at that, you know? Leo Baumgartner or whatever his name was, you know?
Spirit in the Sky.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. Anyway, we got to put it on pause again. So, Paul, you're going to have to wait for us. But we have lines open again, 410-922-6680. If you want to call and direct the conversation, Paul's going to talk about gold if he holds on until the break here. But right now, we got to go to traffic. Take it away, traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. Come on. That's an easy one. George Harrison, My Sweet Lord. See? What are you talking about? I mean, I can't even ask my next caller if that was the right song, you know, or so forth. So, anyway. Paul and Arbutus, what can we do for you?
So, a lot of people think the market is overinflated, and I'm wondering what your impression or opinion is of having a percentage of your money in silver or gold at this point, and if so, how to have it, whether it's in a fund or have actual bullion.
See, okay, it's a great question, and let me just kind of give you my take on it, okay? So, first off, the U.S. market isn't overvalued, and I know people say that. You can see at metrics that could say it's overvalued, but when you put it in context of what's happened in the last 6 months, and if you take that out of the equation, which it will come out, this pandemic thing will be over with sooner or later, okay? And it's probably going to be a lot sooner than people realize at this moment in time. So that's number one. The market isn't as overvalued as people try to make it out to be. But the concept of gold and silver, you know, never has made a lot of sense to me, because gold and silver are nothing more than just a simple metal. That's it. There's no anything more that, unless somebody else wants it, I'm not going to make any money. It's not like if I buy Amazon. If I buy Amazon and Amazon continues to dominate the retail market and dominate the cloud services market and dominate the whatever other markets they get into. And they have all these people and brain power that they have on staff, and they have assets, and they have cash flow, and they have earnings, and it's growing and so forth. I actually own something that is a living, breathing, dynamic organism. I don't own just a hunk of metal. And there are a bunch of people out there who promote this concept that gold is this incredible precious metal that's going to protect you from something. We're not necessarily sure what it is, but they you know, and but in my opinion, they're nothing more than the people that have been pounding that drum since I've been in this industry in 1980. They've been playing that music over and over and over. And I don't think there's any truth to it. Like Chris and I have said many times, they say gold's an inflation hedge. Well, if I've owned gold since 1980, I've lost minus, what was it, 0.4?
Half a percent
a year against inflation for 40 years. Now, half a percent against inflation is not a lot, but it's enough that I've diminished my purchasing power, despite the fact that gold's at an all-time high right now. If I owned stocks over that same period of time, I made an 8% positive rate of return. And it's only logical, because who are the companies that charge more money that create inflation? In other words, if I'm a company and I can charge 5% more the next year, that's part of the inflation equation. Gold's not part of the inflation equation. If people go out and mine a lot more gold and put it in the market, gold's going to drop in price. If the price of gold goes to $2,500 an ounce and every woman who has any gold says, hey, you know, I'd rather have the cash than I'd rather have this gold jewelry. I'm going to go take it somewhere and get the cash for it. Gold's going to go plummeting in value just like it has throughout history, because it is strictly a supply and demand equation. Now, here, one more piece that you have to understand. Now, if you and I lived in Greece, okay, if you and I lived in Greece back in 2011, when Greece was teetering on the edge of who knows what, and they were part of the euro, and they didn't control their monetary, their currency, because they were part of the euro, I would have been saying to Paul, you better damn well go get a hunk of your money, go somewhere and buy as much gold with that money as you can, take it home and hide it safely in your house, because if Greece decides to leave the euro, what they will do is they will confiscate all of the euros in your bank account. They will put it in the Bank of Greece, and they will return to you a drachma, which immediately will be devalued a day or two later. But you have all that gold hidden in the basement, and now that gold, you can take out bars of it occasionally, drive north to Germany or Switzerland, go to Switzerland, exchange it for some euros, come back to Greece, and trade your euros in the black market as you need to, so that you don't impoverish yourself forever. That's not going to happen in the United States. So there are times where gold and silver, and owning it directly, is a logical investment opportunity. Now, does that mean that somebody who buys gold and silver is going to lose money, or that it's a foolish investment? No, they could make money. They could make good money. It's just not for me, and I don't understand the logic behind it. That's my 101 on gold.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. I'm not sure he won. I think he got more than he bargained for, you know?
You think?
I think he did. We're going to Edward.
But if you can do it, I mean, you can buy, if you're going to buy it, you can buy.
Buy it on the markets. Don't. You buy physical, you're going to pay 10% premium to buy it, 10% premium to sell it, or 10% discount to sell it.
Buy the miners, buy ETF.
Buy the, you know, or buy the gold fund. ETF, GLD.
Right.
But I don't want to own it. Edward in Pikesville, how can we help you?
I wanted to ask you, I've been retired from the federal government since 2004.
Okay.
Later on, and in about 2010, I became somewhat disabled, okay, but I was already retired. But the thing is, I wanted to ask you, I have an accountant who's not a CPA, and I don't know if he knows all the things. There is a form that he, I noticed it's a form where I got 80% due to a somewhat of a partial disability. But it, but I understand, it, what is that form that this for disability?
No, I'm not sure what form you're referring to.
Will yeah, you... there is a form.
Well, there's plenty of there's the earned income credit, you know, or if you're disabled, et cetera. But I'm not sure somebody like yourself would qualify for that. But you know, that's I gotta honestly say, and unless you told me what form you're referring to, I'm not sure. How old are you, approximately?
76.
76. I'm not sure of anything that would. You know, that would help you in that regard, unless, you know, other than your medical bills that you might be able to take off to help reduce your taxable income. But, you know, now, were you ever...
Well, I'm not on a wheelchair, you know.
Yeah, but you're not, you were not military or anything, right?
No, no, just a civil service.
Right. Okay. Civil service retirement. You know, once you retire, even if you were disabled before, once you retire, you hit retirement age, it just turns into retirement income. I'm other than a few extra little deductions you might be able to get. But you know, I don't know of anything that you're referring to.
Let me say one quick question also. The Medicare Advantage, right?
Medicare Advantage.
Yeah, that's the best for Blue Cross Blue Shield, right? The plan, my plan this year, I have a B also because since I'm a retiree, they cover a lot of deductions.
Well, you have, do you have the federal government retiree medical insurance?
Right, right.
Yeah, so you have federal government retired medical insurance, and now you've added Medicare Advantage, Medicare C, as they call it, C as in Charlie, and that's a unique type of Medicare. Most people who have Medicare B and Medicare D, or like the guy talking to earlier today with Medigap, and he was saying, I have Plan F, he has what's called original Medicare. You have Medicare Advantage,
right.
And that's where you take your Medigap policy and your Medicare Part B, and you kind of mold them together into this one new thing called Medicare Advantage, and it operates kind of like an HMO. Okay,
right. But because I'm 76,
yeah,
it covers.
For some people, Medicare Advantage works great, especially for somebody who intends to just stay in the same area for the rest of their life. So, in other words, if you're in Pikesville and you intend to live in Pikesville until the day you pass away, Medicare Advantage could be a great thing. My mother's on Medicare Advantage up in Pennsylvania, up in Harrisburg. She intends to stay there, and she's quite happy with her doctors that she gets through Medicare Advantage. It works great for her. But most of my clients want Medicare Original, which is where you have a Medigap policy or Medicare Supplemental, and you have Medicare B, and you go out and you you can choose any doctor anytime you want, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I got to run,
yeah.
But
okay.
It's a great question, and I wish I could answer his question about the disability, but I can't. Anyway, we're on an open show. Lines are all open, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in now, be a great time, 410-922-6680. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your financial physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth, and we're going to our last callers of the night. Ron in Perry Hall, how can we help you?
Yes, sir. Great show as usual. Quick question.
Thank you.
On your conversion, I'm retired. I'm 66 soon. And my wife's a teacher, and she makes about $78,000 a year. And I was very much interested in converting out of the regular IRA into the Roth.
Okay.
So, and I mentioned, I know you mentioned that figure of about $5,000.
Well, that was just for that gentleman because he said he wasn't paying taxes. And I know that normally when you have that situation, you got some Social Security, you're probably going to be about $5,000, $10,000 short every year that you can convert.
Okay. Well, I've met with you once before, and I'm sorry that I didn't stay with you. I didn't actually decide to manage my own money, and I did okay. I turned about $535K from my buyout pension into about $1.2 million, but I think you would have done better. I think you would have done better for me.
No, well, wouldn't, you never know. But so what you need to do is you need to do some good tax accounting on what would conversions cost, because everybody needs to have a conversion strategy. They're going to just continue to hammer you on taxes, and you really need to be considering Roth conversion strategies.
Yeah. Well, can I call your office and meet with your CPA or whoever?
Well, Chris and I are the CPAs.
So great.
Okay. We're two
well,
of the six of them.
With you guys.
So you almost always would meet with at least me. But we would always have, if you're tax-oriented, then you would meet with me and Chris or me and Justin or something like that. All right?
Great. I'll set something up then.
All right, Ron. Great talking to you. Take
Thank
care.
You.
We're going to Phil in Glen Burnie. How can we help you, Phil?
Okay. I want to cash in a mutual fund that isn't tax-deferred.
Okay.
I'd start using for income before I use my Social Security.
Okay. This is after-tax money, right? Not an IRA or a Roth.
Not an IRA. It's an old mutual fund that isn't tax sheltered in any way.
Okay. Yep.
And I pay a lot of taxes on it, so I'm going to get rid of it.
Right, because every year it's doing distributions of capital gains, interest, and dividends, right?
Right.
Yep.
I know what the federal tax rate is, 15%, but what was the Maryland capital gains tax rate?
Well, the federal capital gains rate is zero if
Depends.
Your income's under $80,000. Is your
not.
Income
if you're married?
It's not.
Okay, so then it's 15. Now, are you married or single?
Married.
Married. So is your income over $250,000?
No.
Okay, so then you're absolutely right. 15%. Maryland is ordinary income, 8.5%, depending on what county you're in. You're in Anne Arundel County.
Yes.
Okay, so it's 8.5%, let's call it.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know.
All right, buddy. It might be a tad lower. I don't remember what piggyback tax Anne Arundel County's at right now, but I think they're at the same rate everyone else is at, you know? So it would make it 8.5, we'll call it that, all right? Gene in Columbia, it's our good friend Gene. How can we help you, Gene?
Sorry I haven't been able to listen and call in for weeks. But
you just don't love us anymore, Gene.
I'm on grandpa duty a lot.
All right. How many do you have?
Four.
Four? What ages?
8, 8, 12, and 14.
And you're still awake?
Yep. All right. My question has to do with, I've always been a person that has been comfortable with having anywhere from 20 to 30% of their assets in cash.
Okay.
And the rest invested.
Okay.
That's been great the last 3 or 4 years. For instance, I just had a CD that came due Monday. It had been paying 2.6%. They were going to offer me 0.01%.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, no. Under these circumstances, I got plenty of money short of this, 20 to 30% for an emergency fund. But what are you recommending for other people like me who have these CDs that are coming in? The only thing I can think of is to buy a rock-solid company that's paying a high interest rate.
20 to 30.
Stock, like AT&T,
58%. AT&T, what a dog of a company. Yeah, anyway, but 20-30% of your money, is that $200,000? Is that $500,000? Is that $5 million? What?
I don't want to say on the radio what my net worth is, but it's close to seven figures.
Okay, so the point is that normally if somebody came in with us and we wanted them to have that safe piece, we'd be buying individual municipal bonds and sometimes only Maryland individual municipal bonds, but relatively moderate to short term. You know, in other words, 3 to 6 years is what we're going to be looking at. But now the problem is those rates are getting ridiculously low too.
I'm probably going to have to pay a premium for some of them.
Well, you do pay a premium, but what's the difference if my net positive rate of return, even if I pay a premium?
Right, right.
So, you know, what you do is you have to calculate yield to worst as well as yield to maturity or yield to call. So yield to worst means what happens if they call it sooner than I expect, what's the worst case could be if I pay this price for it, and what's the best case it'll be if it goes to the logical duration that we expect it to, which would be a call date sometime in the future. So that's the way we look at them. But we use a company out of New York called Belhaven, done a fantastic job for us in managing municipal bonds and so forth. But now I'm getting concerned because, municipals for the first time in quite a while dropped below taxables in the last week. Did you notice that? The 10-year municipal is down to 0.57, and the 10-year is at U.S. Treasury is at 0.67. And the 30-year is at like 1.30, and the 30-year is at Treasury is at 1.38. And we haven't seen that in quite a while.
No, we haven't seen that
in quite a while. Yep. So I'm getting a little concerned about, you know, I'm with you,
Gene. Yeah, you're talking to a guy who remembers in 1981 or two being able to go to a bank and get a 16% interest rate.
I was talking about that.
I also remember my 12% mortgage.
Yep. I understand. I was talking about that the other day.
How did we survive?
I don't know. But here's an idea. Go on to we use online banks like Capital One 360 Performance Savings. I get 1%. Marcus Bank, you can get 1.05%. You can also get an online CD. And some of them, for 5 years, are still yielding 1.5%, 1.6%, things like that. So that's what I would look at is an online savings account or an online CD. And, if you use the online savings account, you're at least getting 1%, right? And then if rates go higher again in a year or so after this thing's over, you know, then you have the ability to then lock into your CDs again at maybe a little higher rate. That's what I would do.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, and keep in mind the insurance, okay? You know, like you have how many children do you have?
Children.
Yeah, children.
Two professional, on their own, thank God.
Well, two, okay. But, you know, if you and your wife were to set up a joint account with your children as TOD beneficiaries, you would actually have $1 million of FDIC insurance on that account.
All our accounts are POD or COD.
Yeah, so you would have $1 million on a joint account. Anyway, I got to run, Gene. Good question. Excellent. And right now, Chris, we got to go. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Things are gonna